with Rachel Smalley. Are you ready? On News Talk ZB.
Hello, good evening. It's 5:07. Well, the Australian Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, says Canberra would enact the ANZUS Treaty and come to the aid of the United States if North Korea attacks the superpower or any of its interests. Now, New Zealand was, of course, part of that three-way ANZUS Treaty when it was signed back in 1951, but we're no longer formally an ally of the US after the anti-nuclear laws came in back in the 80s. So what would New Zealand's role be if the situation between Washington and Pyongyang escalates? And certainly, if you've heard any of the rhetoric today, it certainly sounds like it's going to. And of course, Australia has now said they would offer support to the US, so does that in a way obligate us as well? Well, Stephen Hoadley is an Associate Professor of International Relations at Auckland University. Hello to you, Professor.
Good evening, Rachel.
Are we obligated in any way to the ANZUS Treaty?
Legally, no. Morally, yes. That is, the relationship with the United States is very warm. There is a sense of cooperation. There's certainly an unease in New Zealand about North Korea's testing. And I suspect that if there were any kind of hostilities, and certainly if Australia made some sort of contribution, even if rhetorical, New Zealand would follow suit very quickly.
The fact that Malcolm Turnbull has offered his support, would we now feel obligated, do you think, our government to do the same, or are we more likely to sit and watch and wait and see what happens first?
I cannot believe that Jerry Brownlee, Minister of Foreign Affairs, would sit and wait. He has made a very strong statement already condemning North Korea's nuclear tests or missile tests that might become nuclear missile tests. He is quite a robust character, and I wouldn't imagine that he would recommend to Cabinet, which would no doubt want to discuss this before a formal announcement were made, would want to recuse from some sort of statement. It could just be rhetorical support. It could be condemnation of violation of international law, condemnation of flouting the United Nations Security Council sanctions that have been put on North Korea, or invoking the treaty constricting nuclear and missile tests. But New Zealand could not, in good conscience, do nothing.
That said, we have a very different relationship with China than, say, the likes of the US. So how might China view this if New Zealand was to say we will back in whatever way the US against North Korea?
Well, you're thinking far ahead, Rachel, and the nightmare scenario is that South Korea, with the backing of the United States, becomes some sort of military action across the DMZ, moving north into North Korea. Now, that happened in 1950, and of course, China reacted and pushed the UN and U.S. forces right back to where they are now at the 38th parallel. So let us hope it doesn't come to this, because this would really pit China against the United States and Australia, and maybe New Zealand would be drawn into that. This is something that I'm sure in Wellington nobody wants to see happen.
From your point of view, how big is the threat, do you think, of this escalating? I mean, it's been triggered by some loose words, I think, from Donald Trump and, of course, the culture, the regime in North Korea, their response as well. Both Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, I guess you would describe them both as very emotional leaders, not the best of temperaments on either of them. But how big do you think this threat is, given that North Korea is talking about its plans to do something militarily against Guam, or certainly in the Guam region?
I've been reading analysts on that, Rachel, and the analysts generally say that Kim Jong-un is rational. He's rational in a very peculiar way based on his conviction that North Korea is going to be attacked by South Korea and the United States. Now, we don't think that's ever going to happen, but that's the rationale under which he justifies his leadership. There's the classic way that leaders legitimize their dictatorial rule is by bringing an external enemy and exaggerating the threat from outside. Putin is doing this, for example, and this is the basis of Kim's bellicose rhetoric. But in the past, he has threatened before. He has indicated that the situation is intolerable. He did not act. And the United States, likewise, has made some fairly strong statements, for example, towards Syria, chemical weapons and so forth under Obama, and did not act. So I'm cautiously optimistic that sensible advisors behind Trump and behind Kim Jong-un will restrain the leader from any kind of precipitate action.
I guess the final question is, Professor, if we were to offer support in some way to the US, what could we offer? I mean, militarily, there's not a whole lot we can do. Would it come in the form of personnel, do you think, that sort of expertise?
Yeah, you're quite right, Rachel. There's not a great deal in the military line. In fact, New Zealand would be very reluctant to put its meager military resources in harm's way. They would be swept aside in any major conflict. But behind the lines, yes, New Zealand could offer medical support, offer logistics support, offer communication support, offer rhetorical support, support in the United Nations, for example, support in general policy statements and urging other Southeast Asian countries and Pacific Island countries to stand firm against North Korea, whether, you know, with military action or just diplomacy. Either way would be a positive move. I suspect this is where New Zealand would want to position itself, rather than maybe as Australia might do, given Australia's robust defense platforms and posture. New Zealand would want to be a little more cautious, given its more limited resources.
Stephen Hobley, Associate Professor of International Relations at Auckland University, thank you. Coming up in a moment are some pretty strong words directed at our health minister and our health ministry in general today. It's 5:15.